Welcome to the Pure American Podcast. I'm your host, Fatty, with my other wonderful host, the herpes-ridden Red Boy.
Not really. It's this.
Wink, wink.
You should have seen the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah. That made it sound even worse.
Yeah, that sounded... yeah, wow. Okay. Anyway, today, for our seventh episode on, what is it, Friday the 12th is when this will be airing. We got a couple things. It'll probably be a little bit on the shorter side. I'm pretty sure y'all won't mind that. Our episodes do run a little bit long. But make sure you follow us on all our socials. The Twitter primarily, which is Pure American Pod. You'll be able to find the links to every single account that we have on social media. Yeah, and make sure you, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe and hit that notification bell. I feel like we hit 3 dislikes on the previous episode. That's a record-setting amount of dislikes.
It's wild.
Yeah, I know. But it's also a good thing because it means y'all like what we do with an overwhelming support. So that's awesome. We appreciate y'all, of course. So let's get into the topics of today's episode. If you listened to episode 6 of the previous episode, you would have heard about us talk about the Steven Crowder situation and some of the accusations. There's a quick update on that whole situation. Continuing on the Twitter trend, there was a hashtag, Not All Men, was trending on Twitter. We're going to break that down because... it's pretty dumb, you know. We're going to sound like some broken records because we talk about stuff like this quite often. And then, big news would be taxpayers now have to pay for military members to transition because of a new executive order that Joe Biden signed.
And that shit costs upwards towards 6 figures for a good transition surgery.
Yeah, the amount of money that majority of Americans just don't make.
I wonder how much it costed Caitlyn Jenner to transition. He had money, so.
Oh, yeah. And then to round it off, we have the George Floyd Square situation. If you don't know what that is, it's probably the new Chaz or Chop. So... now, we're going to call it CHOP because that's what it was. It's none of this Chaz nonsense. So let's get right into it. So an update on the Crowder situation. If you don't remember, there was this guy that came out of Twitter, some form of transsexual, what was it, male or female, whatever, non-binary, just bleh, you know.
Had long hair with a mustache, yeah.
Looked like a feminine Thor. Anyway, so he put out this crazy accusation about how Steven took advantage of him when he was like 17 because he was homeless and Steven offered like $1,000. And he's like, of course I'd take it. Yeah, of course I'd take it. I was helpless. In all reality, you should just say no. anyway, bunch of claims. After he made that claim, came out and said, I don't have to essentially tell anybody anything. It's my story. I don't have to delve into it deeper, explain my trauma, which... folks, you do if you make a claim like that.
It's such a broad accusation. It's like, you're not just going to say that, but not bring anything to the table to back up what you're saying. Exactly. You're trying to ruin a man's life without any credibility whatsoever. And Steven Crowder has all the credibility there is.
Yeah, whether you like the man or not, he's usually pretty legally sound. Obviously, he has a lawyer that's on the show with him, and they try to do things by the book. The update on the situation being the guy's account got suspended. So it's gone. As of right now, there's been no further backings. The one thing I do hate about all this stuff was the amount of people that came out. And I think we said this last episode and I don't care. It's still shocking to me and scares me. The amount of people that's like, that's fine. I believe you.
With what proof?
With zero evidence. Not even word of mouth. It was just...
it was
word
a tweet.
Of finger. Yeah.
It was a literal tweet. What is it? It's just people see something and everyone has this narrative, their own narrative, a narrative that they believe in. They see it. They're just like, yep, sounds about right. That seems like something a man would do. What?
Just, yeah. What? It's like, yeah, no, Tristan murdered 3 kids. Yeah, nope, sounds
good.
Right. Yeah, totally what happens.
All I would have to do is pull the minority card, and they'd be like, free him.
You're Asian, it doesn't count. You're not the right minority.
I'm just going to become a rooftop Korean, then.
anyway,
if you don't know what that is, look it up.
It's great.
It's hilarious.
Anyway, so the account's suspended. But again, what's scary is the amount of people that's like, I believe him, stop silencing, you know, this man. What's like... this is a career-ending accusation that has yet to be proven. And if you're going to make an accusation, go to the police. Go to the go to the courts, the actual legal system we have in place here in America, because that's the way you should do it.
And if it's tweet a real... said, Twitter's not the courtroom. Take it to the damn courtroom then. Like, yeah. What?
It's like, I don't have to prove anything. It's not a courtroom. Okay, go to the actual justice system.
Couldn't Crowder, if Crowder wanted to, couldn't
defamation.
He... Defamation of character. He could countersue, or not... It wouldn't even countersue. It'd just be sue.
I don't think he will, because he...
I don't think he will either, because he doesn't seem like the guy to go out of his way just to make that type of point, but... He could.
He's also in some massive lawsuits right now with some social media companies.
But hypothetically. They don't like him.
Yeah, hypothetically, yes. So that's the update on that situation. Continuing on with this whole Twitter trend. If you were paying attention to Twitter, I unfortunately only do it because I try to find content. There was the hashtag Not All Men was trending. Not good. Not a good thing, obviously, and all, for all the wrong reasons. Let's give you an example of one of the tweets. So we have somebody who is a checkmark, Marina Diamandis. I'm not even going to try. It sounds ethnic. Whatever. Hashtag not all men equals an avoidance tactic used by men who find it too, quote-unquote, uncomfortable to do the internal work required to address misogyny. It's time for men to do the soul searching, not women. Hashtag Sarah Everend. The Sarah Everend situation, hashtag Sarah Everend, is what is being brought up. All right.
Yeah.
So that whole situation is this. There was a cop in the UK, not even in the US. There's a cop in the UK who was arrested, for the murder of this girl named Sarah Everend, right? Horrible situation. Absolutely disgusting. She was 33 years old, whatever, guy was 48. He died, or she died. He was found in his cell, I think today or yesterday, with head injuries, right? And he's by himself, so it's like, how does he have head injuries? So he's rushed to the hospital. He was unconscious, right? So that was a big news story, right? Anyway... I think they're riding the back of her murder as something of, oh, we got to be cautious of who's around us.
It's because they're pushing a narrative. That's literally all it is. And obviously disgusting situation, but you don't need to flip everything to push a narrative on social media, especially like, what was that chick's name that just made the tweet?
I don't know. I forgot it.
Marie D. Marina. Something.
Marina. Yeah, Marina. Huh.
Despicable.
Anyway, so like, this is one of the things, right? So some of the tweets under the hashtag Sarah Everend. I mean, you can go look at this because they're there. Yesterday, I had to walk past a group of young men outside a tube station, whatever that is. I don't know. Is that, that's got to be in the UK.
It's got to be. I don't know what a tube station is. If you know what a tube station is, let us know in the comments because I have no clue.
Probably about seven of them, smoking, swearing, etc. When I walked past, one of them told his friend, get out of the way, man. The lady's walking. I wanted to hug him. The relief was a lot.
Oh, I thought this was going to go. I thought she was about to be mad that he said that.
welcome to the majority of men, people. The majority of men are going to get out of your way. I would argue the majority of men would have that respect. Now, that's if they're taught the respect, because that opens a whole other can of situations. Me, personally, I believe a lot of the problems we face in society is from the lack of a, two-parent household. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nuclear family household.
It's just that they make this large generalization. I mean, everything nowadays is just a generalization. But right. One person does something bad, one man does something bad, and they're like, oh. Yep, must be everyone else with a penis in the world.
Yeah, so like, first of all,
they're all rapists and misogynists.
We've talked about this before. I'm pretty sure it was whatever episode we covered the kill all men trend.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah. Anyway, what me and Tristan had an agreement on was there's some places I'm not going to go walk by myself at past a certain time or any time of the day, no matter what. And I'm a big dude. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not exactly friendly looking, you know, so I think it's hilarious when people was like, you don't know what it's like, or women have to live in fear. First of all, I think I saw, what was it, about 78.7%, we'll call it 78 or 79, whatever, don't quote me on it, of the world's murders are men. So technically speaking, we should be more scared, but we're not. Well, some of us are. That's also because we're just idiots, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a shared fear.
I mean, you can't like deny the fact, like, I'll admit, obviously, most aggressive crimes, domestic violence, stuff like that, and murders, statistically speaking, do happen because of men.
Oh, yeah. And
they think that we don't know that.
Yeah. Dude, like, it sucks. And a lot of it comes from the mental state of men, right? Because now you got to look at the more... First of all, if you're going to sit there and tell me that society... And deny that society has an open hatred towards manliness or masculinity, right? I'm gonna laugh in your face because you're lying. Society hates the qualities of being a real man and masculine traits. You know what I mean? Kind of being stoic, trying to be a leader. You know what I mean? And help and be the stability for emotions, right? Because that's why a lot of men don't show their emotions, is because they got to be an anchor. You know what I mean? If my girlfriend's crying, having a really bad day, I can't always cry with her. I have to be stable and be that, you know, that thing that she can lean on, if that makes sense.
The rock.
Yeah, and sometimes a lot of men, that pressure snaps. And yeah, men create a lot of the problems in today's world. You know what I mean? But they also find a lot of solutions.
The thing that's funny is just, like, it varies, like, just place to place. I mean,
right?
You got, like, West Coast, all the soy boys and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you move over, like, to the South and East Coast, and a lot more people are more masculine.
Right.
Than you'd see over there. And it's, like, off topic. Funny thing, that's about the military, and I keep seeing this meme everywhere. You can cry wherever the fuck you want to, and no one's going to look at you a goddamn different way.
Yep.
And be like, yep, it'd be like that.
And that's why, like, yeah, a lot of guys, like, when you get home, or a lot of guys, you know, sit out in their truck or decompress after coming home from work.
Drink a beer.
Or something, right? And they don't want to do anything. That's the time when we let a lot of our emotions out.
Ladies.
It's not by everybody. Go ahead.
Once we get home from a 12-hour day, we don't want to be nagged to do all this stuff.
Right.
We get it. We need a help around the house. But especially if you're a stay-at-home mom, yeah, Don't nag us.
Also, a lot of the things, too, I think a lot of the different problems, because I'm not saying women don't have, you know, they're innocent and they're angels, because they're not, but no one is, you know what I mean? Every sex has, well, both sexes and genders have their problems.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, no problem. I think where you see, because, you know, everyone's like, yeah, men do get killed more by other men. You're right, but I think it has to do with how we're made, you know what I mean, or how we... our bodies with hormones. Like, men are a lot more confrontational, if that makes sense.
A lot of men get killed by other men for stupid-ass reasons. Because I guess the alpha complex, mm-hmm, or something. Right. So, it's challenging me at a bar. Let's get in a bar fight. Next thing you know, you're fucking stabbed.
That's what I'm saying. Majority of the time, men are way more confrontational than women are. Women will hold a grudge. They'll talk nasty behind someone's back. Not saying men won't do this, but men tend to
talk shit about you in a group straight message.
Up to your, yeah, the men will tend to go straight up to your face and just fight it out. Now, whether or not that means killing somebody because you're that angry, or you know what I mean, or robbing somebody, or beating them up, or just literally like saying, "All right, let's go outside real quick," or meet up after school in the playground. We'll fight, and then it's good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Beef squashed. So I think that causes a lot of problems. But back to the topic, right? I saw this one tweet, and in fact, it's right here. It's kind of like a quote from a speaker. I don't know if it was a stand-up comedian or just a speaker. I don't know who it is, but it says, or he said, if 1 in 10 men are crap, but the other 9 do nothing, they might as well not be there. I censored the language, but I think that's kind of a bad take in the sense of, let's see, I think a lot of guys, unless all the group of guys are just a-holes, you know what I mean? If you're in a group of guys and one guy is doing something stupid, the guys will call him out fast.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's how guys are. But this idea of, well, if one in 10 guys are bad and the other nine don't call them out. Like, if I don't know, like, let's say my neighbor's a horrible person. I don't know. I don't talk to him. I'm not going to go walk up to his door, knock on the door and be like, hey, bro, you're a terrible person. You know what I mean? Like, now, I think there's time for men need to step in for men that are doing bad things. But if I don't know the guy, a lot of guys treat it like that's not my business. You know what I mean? That's not my place.
Well, like, back in high school, with like my friend group that I hung out with, we'll just call this guy Chris. Whenever we were at parties, he'd always like try to come on to a girl like super fucking strong. He was like super persistent.
Right.
But all of us were always the ones to like call him out. And when like he knew that he was doing it, like after the fact, I mean, parties, everyone's drunk, but he would get mad at us while he was drunk. When we were calling him out, and we're just like, dude, it's like, you can't be doing that. I'm like, first off, you ugly as shit, dog.
Yeah.
Second off, no girl wants you to be harassing her to try and take her home, buy her a drink, or whatever.
Yeah. This idea that men don't call out other men, I'd say is not true, because men do it all the time. And a lot of guys get butthurt over it. You know what I mean?
It depends on your... It's a character thing.
Yeah.
Character and morals.
And I'd argue that majority of men have good moral standings. And good character. I would say
so, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd argue that most people have good morals and good character. You know what I mean? And that's just me maybe having too much of a positive outlook on life. But, you know, from my experience, that's what I've experienced.
But that's where the generalization comes in, because you get the 1 out of 10 people who do something fucked up.
Right.
Or it's just a disgusting person. And next thing you know, we're being generalized because we're all apparently bad.
That's where that dangerous, because like everyone's like, we're not generalizing, but you got to do something. You're right. You know, the bystander is just as bad as the bully. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of men are quick to call out bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Especially in today's age. It's not like the 1930s, you know what I mean, where guys are all hush-hush about situations and women are all hush-hush. No. And you're not being a white knight by calling people out, but it's not as bad as people would make it seem.
Oh,
I'd make that argument, you know. That's where I get the problem, because the not all men thing comes from when people are like, girls will say the kill all men are, you know, men are rapists, men are trash, misogynistic, whatever, yada, 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 garbage. And that's like, the response typically is, well, that's not all men. And that's a good response, because it's true.
It's not all men. You know what
I
mean?
I wouldn't say, like, that's like if I were to say all women are gold diggers and hoes. You know what I mean? We'd be like, no, that's not all women. You're right. And that's a good response, because it's true. So when men respond with what you're saying with not all men, don't treat it like that's a bad response, because it's not.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I don't – if someone was a serial killer and I don't know they're a serial killer, how do you expect me to call them out? I don't know who they are. I don't know, you know what I mean, who they are now. Once I find out, yeah, definitely going to chastise them for that actions. And a lot of people will chastise them for their actions, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
– Yeah.
I don't know. I don't go about my day doing all that stuff, so – I think that's a problem. You know what I mean? And I think, again, a lot of that comes from we're just made different in how society treats men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, speaking on switching topics to men, well, maybe men wanting to become women or women wanting to become men, Biden signed an executive order that would have taxpayers pay for transgenders who are in the military. Okay, first of all, actually, before I do any of this, Tristan, you're in the military. Will you please break down when people say Trump banned people, transgenders from the military? Re-break that down and explain what that actually meant.
Yeah, so I think we actually covered this before. We might have, but just to hit on it again. So Trump never banned transgenders from joining the military. I have transgender soldiers within my own formation. I have 3, actually. He didn't ban them from, like, if you're transgender, you can't come into the military. No. He banned the military from spending the money for their transgender surgery, because the problem that the military was having was that people they knew about the healthcare, they knew about transgender surgeries, and that they cost upwards towards 6 figures. And so they would come into the military. As soon as they got in, boom, start the transgender surgery. They'd go through all this stuff, all their hormone blockers and everything, or... I think they also have hormone enhancements, don't they?
Yeah, so like if you want to become a woman. Wants to become a man, you take testosterone.
Yeah, and then a man to a woman.
Vice versa, yeah.
So, yeah, but people were coming in, starting their transgender surgery. Once they're finished completely transitioning, they do something or find some way to get themselves chaptered out. They would go smoke weed, do drugs, whatever, to get themselves out. Because at that point, you came in to get your transgender surgery. Why do you care if you got honorable, general, or dishonorable discharge? You came in, you got what you wanted, and you left. And that was costing the military a lot of money. So Trump made it so they can't use that, or the military cannot use that money to fund the transgender surgeries. So if you were transgender and you wanted to serve, boom, you can still serve. But you would have to pay out of pocket for your transgender surgery. The military was not responsible nor liable to, like, for any of that.
It's not a health benefit.
Yeah, it was all on you. I mean, it also comes down to the fact too that you don't want to give someone who's on hormones and all this other stuff a gun. We're not in wartime anymore, but you don't want to give them a gun in wartime, send them out there, and expect them to perform just as well as you would expect everyone else to, because it affects your mental stability, brain chemistry, the mental stability's
off. And if you don't believe that, take a look at the suicide within that community too. The suicide rate's extremely high.
Yeah.
The mental stability's just not there, you know. Because gender dysphoria, I believe, can be counted as a mental illness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it was, right? Everyone's like, oh, he banned transgender from being in the military. No. You know what I mean? This is why I said do your own research, find out what it's really about, because obviously a situation like this is completely misleading.
Ask a service member.
So tucked inside Biden's January 25th transgender order, which we did cover on this show, because everyone's like, yes, Biden finally lifted the transgender ban. You know what I mean? So tucked inside of this was this idea that if you want to transition and you don't have the money for it, you can join the military, be in the military, and now the military will have to pay for it. And if you don't know how the military comes up with the money, it's us, the taxpayers. We pay for the military. I pay for Tristan's salary. If that makes sense. So taxpayers are now going to have to foot that bill. You know what I mean? Which is horrible. Because I don't want to pay for that. You know what I mean? That's a personal choice. The government shouldn't have to pay for, like, I don't think I should have to pay for someone's gastric bypass. I don't think I should have to pay for someone's plastic surgery. But now I'm going to have to pay for someone to have reassignment surgery? No. And if you don't know how expensive, I mean, that can be upwards. I think it was around $200,000. So you know how much that's going to affect taxes. You know what I mean? That's incredibly high. That's kind of messed up. You know what I mean? So now that's, you're going to have all these sorts of messed up people trying to get into the military. Let me rephrase that. You have all these people that are going to want to join the military strictly for that reason. You know what I mean? Which is not a great reason. Not saying everyone joins the military for great reasons, but that's horrible. You know what I mean? That's not how this should work.
Some people join for school. Some people join because their family was military. My family was all military. But joining for your own personal benefit and having that your only goal in mind is disgusting.
Yeah, and like that just adds more stress, I feel like, to the guys who have to balance the checkbooks for the military. You know what I mean?
It's like, I get the military paying for, I mean, if you're wounded in action, obviously the military is going to give you the best treatment in order to make you better again.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be paying all this money. My bad. You guys shouldn't be paying all this money just for someone's personal gain. That's why I was super happy when Trump passed the bill that stated we aren't to pay for their transgender surgery. They're allowed to do it, but it has to be out of pocket. The amount of transgender male and females trying to join the military dropped substantially in the last 4 years. And that just tells you what their main goal was.
Yeah, and if you don't know how much this costs, so in 2019, the USA Today did a little like analysis and investigation, found that the military put out, or the Pentagon put out, $8 million for 1,500 surgeries and treatments.
For transgender surgeries?
For transgender military officials. Whatever, treatments or, you know, surgeries. No, I think it was treatments. Yeah. So that's $8 million for only 1,500 people. That's a lot of money for not a lot of people.
The thing is that a lot of people, like, the idea that they have is they're like, oh, well, the military just hates trans people. We don't. Like, we literally, we don't care as long as it doesn't affect the squad around you, your battalion.
Do your job and create as less friction as possible.
Like, we have, like I said, I have three. I'm not going to say their names. I have three soldiers in our formation. All really cool. One transitioned to a boy and the other two transitioned to females. Really cool. They do their job. They do whatever they need to, whatever they're told, and then they go home. Yep. We also have this medic, or is a PA. It was a he, now it's a she. She's an officer. She's a captain. Super cool. Nicest person you'll ever meet in your life, and no one treats them differently. The thing that's also good, too, about these four individuals is because, I mean, they're transitioning, so someone misgenders them, they don't care. They just respectfully say, oh, well, I'm transitioning right now. I go by this. And everyone's like, all right, cool. We're going to go with that.
Yeah. Like, okay, so there was a study, I think a federal study, found that like 15,000 service members and 134,000 veterans identify as transgender. So let's say all these people have not gone through actual surgery yet, right? They're starting their transition. You know how much money that would cost? Assuming, so let's say all 15,000 people, right, wanted to undergo transition surgery and they hadn't yet. You know what I mean? If we do the number, let's just put in the number that was in there, was 200, upwards of 200,000 per person. That's, let's see here. That's, oh my goodness. That's three, what's after million? Trillion? No, billion. Right?
Billion.
$3 billion for 15,000 people. If they all went for the high-end surgeries.
Does the VA, like after this bill gets passed, or it's already been passed, but does the VA, are they going to cover veterans that want to transition too? Because that's also your guys' taxpayer money.
Well, if it goes under, if it goes under health benefits, right, that counts.
Yeah,
if it's classified as a health benefit.
I don't know.
So let's just look into that. I'm just going to run that number real quick. So let's say 134,000, right? And we'll say they all, if they have the availability to get the high end operation, I don't know why you wouldn't. You know what I mean? That's, oh, geez.
A trillion?
That is $26.8 billion.
God damn, dude.
Yeah, dude, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that could be going to something else, like so just better PTSD treatment for veterans.
If y'all want to complain about where your tax money is going, y'all better start complaining about where it's going. And by that, I mean here.
Right.
Not just the military, but going to something that the military literally does not gain anything from funding.
Yeah, like I'm a Christian. I don't support this. You know what I mean? I don't support transgender stuff. And that's, I don't have, like I said, I'm still going to treat someone who's transgender with respect because that's what my religion calls for. And I try to leave religion out of this show. But if there's people like me who religiously don't support it, they're going to be forced to pay for something they don't support, which is not a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, this is the same thing for abortion. But if you're not, let's say you're not religious, but you still don't support it. Like, that, again, I'm making the analogy of that's the same thing as saying, like, okay, for every female soldier, you're going to have to pay for their boob jobs.
Mm-mm. Pretty much.
That's not how that works. You know what I mean? That's like, or Tristan has a bunch of tattoos.
Tattoo removal.
Yeah, tattoo removal or adding more tattoos.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. But it's like me being me, like I'm not super religious. I grew up in a Christian family. I don't have a problem with transgender people. Like I just let them live their lives and live mine. But when it comes down to this, when it can affect literally a whole entire organization and then everyone's going to complain about it later on, that's when it's like, come on.
That's when you, that's when you're like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit right here.
Yeah, you know it's I mean? Like, you got to think things through. I mean, look who's in office. We're not thinking things through. But you got to think things through, especially when it comes to something that could affect a million, 2 million people and the whole organization in a whole. And that a million, 2 million, I think that's just our military. It's going to affect everyone, honestly.
Yeah, it's It's dumb. I don't support it. I think it's a horrible idea. I'd argue that the majority of people won't support that on the basis of your money's going to have to pay for it now. Because there are, again, there's a lot of people, like, I treat people with respect. I realize not everyone's going to live the same lifestyle, even if I have an objection to it, right? I can't change that. But I'm not going to pay for it. And I think a lot of people also would be like, I just don't want my taxpayers' dollars to go to that, even if I support it or not. You know what I mean? Or even if I'm religious or not.
The other internal problem that this is going to create, because obviously hormone blockers and like estrogen enhancements, I guess, it's going, like we said, it causes a lot of mental problems. It can cause a lot of depression. It can cause all these things that's just going to affect the workplace. It's going to make it so they're not. And the worst part is they're going to get special treatment. With this new army, I'm in the army, with the new army, these people who make this decision are going to get special treatment, and they're going to get, not outed, but they're going to be separate from the other people, the people that are actually there to do their fucking job.
Right. And like I said, I'm going to be honest with you. The military is the one place where I want the least diversity when it comes to, like, all this stuff. I want the most unfair advantage of war. I don't want it to be this, oh, look how equal we are. It's like, no, I want the most rowdy people out there fighting. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want as a military. I want an unfair advantage. So I think that also stems from this as well. But when we come back after this ad, we'll talk about a whole nother situation that has been going on. Essentially the second Chaz, if you remember, or the Chop, if you remember what that was, over in, what was it, Portland or Seattle?
Seattle. It was somewhere in Washington.
Yeah. So, when we come back after that, this ad, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, because it's whack. So we'll see y'all right after this. And welcome back. So, like we said, we're going to be going over this Chop 2.0. which is going on in the George Floyd Square, which is in Minneapolis, Minnesota, of course, where he was, where George Floyd was killed, the memorial there. So this video I'm going to show you, or we're going to watch and break down, is from a News Nation, I think is what it's called, Now reporter. His name is Brian Inten. You'll see. Basically, he went there to try to do a report, and it didn't go so well. So let's go ahead and break that down, shall we?
Was killed back in May. Take a look. These barricades have been set up by...
First of all, I'd like to say those are the most pathetic looking barricades I've ever seen in my life.
I can make something better out of coat hangers.
If you're listening and not watching,
that other barricade looks like styrofoam.
It's literally like one concrete barrier and essentially what would be like the metal part of it's not a tent almost, but you know what I mean? Like when you go tailgating and you see like the, what are they called? People pop them up to stand under for shade.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, it literally looks like what a canvas would rest on, and they just put it on the ground. And then there's like a horribly made, self-made, like anti-tank, anti-vehicle, just barricade right there.
That looks like it weighs 10 pounds. Kick that, I bet you the welds fall off.
Yeah, anyway, and there's a huge gap on the left, too, that people just roll by. So let's continue.
By protesters and supporters.
So there's these two people walking up towards the barricade right now.
They don't allow anyone in, not even the police. It's called an autonomous zone.
You're going to be in a bad situation here in a second.
Sorry for the wind. It's the camera that they're filming. It's windy. I love how the guy's first thing he says when he walks up is, you guys are going to be in a bad situation real quick. calm down, bro. You're not alpha. All right, let's move on.
Thought if we were on this side of the barricade,
you're gonna be in a bad situation in a second.
What do you mean by bad?
You've been called out for what you are, and you need to get out of here.
You've been called out for reporting the news. How dare you do
a
your job?
News reporter, dog.
How dare you do your job?
Please go. We know what you are. You need to get in your car and go.
It's pretty easy to see what they are. They got a camera and a microphone. Oh, yeah, if you're listening, too. So these two people walk up dressed in black. One looks like a female. The other one is a male. Of course, not assuming genders. We all know these people usually. Well, I don't know how I want to break you down. I'm going to be respectful. They usually are backwards mechanics most of the time, or they're a little bit fruity. They don't shower, let's just say that. Both white, by the way. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Both white at the George Floyd Memorial.
Yeah.
Or,
yep. Yeah, that thing memorial. Says black activism like a white liberal.
It's very.
Oh, yeah, the reporter was outside the barricade, too. He wasn't even inside.
Very tense near the memorial, and a militant-style group has closed off several blocks with
They shut off
militant
a neighborhood,
style.
Bro.
Where the hell is their militant. Guns?
No, they're militant, because you'll see in a second, they're described as a militant group. But, dude, that's a neighborhood. So they drove by another barricade, which is literally looks like a gated area of a neighborhood, because it looks like a guard shack, and they got like a place where you can lock your bicycles to. That's blocking the entrance. Another, like, pathetic concrete barrier
attempt.
And a couple pallets. Yeah, a couple pallets and some cones. But
let
it's
me
a,
just go around
it's a neighborhood. But it's a neighborhood, though. Like, look, those are houses. Like, that's a neighborhood. That part right there is a neighborhood. Like, now you got people trapped in there.
Yeah, it's like, I bet they don't. They're also probably confused. I worded that terribly. They're probably so confused on, like, what the hell's going on. Every time they leave their house, they're like, get back inside.
Apparently, so the city is like, we're going to shut all this down after the Derek Chauvin trials wrapped up or whatever. But there's been complaints of gunshots and helicopters flying overhead, obviously. Because helicopters, because, you know, police and the government will see what's going on in there. You can't exactly take over. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take over like that. Mm-mm. So they got to see. But if for those you say, oh, there's no gunshots or it's all peaceful, you'll be proven false here in a second.
Barricades. What's the situation at the memorial?
The situation at the memorial is, from what I understand, is kind of volatile.
So now we have this black female that supports Black Lives Matter and actually protested outside the courthouse during Derek Chauvin's whole, you know, trial.
Ordeal.
So, yeah.
People that want to go and support doesn't feel a sense of inclusion. There is more of a, like, militant type atmosphere over there and a sense of fear.
Kim Griffin supports police reform and was outside the courthouse protesting Floyd's death, but she does not agree with what's happening at the memorial.
So again, bro, again, yeah, we'll get to the guy that's on screen right now. But again, even the people who protested over the summer, even maybe peacefully, you know what I mean? Like, they don't feel welcome within this supposedly, like, you know what I mean? BLM sanctioned whole deal. Or I don't even know if it's Black Lives Matter or, you know, just in the honor of George Floyd. Like, they don't feel that support and they say it feels dangerous and volatile. You know what I mean?
I feel like these people probably don't even care. They're just like, you know what? Let's use this to push a narrative and take over a goddamn whole entire neighborhood. I feel
supposedly,
like they don't care at all.
This was organized by an ex-Marine, I believe, some female ex-Marine. So, continuing on, because this is where it gets interesting. So the lady they just interviewed, there's a reason why they interviewed her. So here it is.
Her nephew, 28-year-old Emez Wright, was shot and killed there over the weekend.
Were police able to get in and help him? Or
police were not allowed to get into that area. He was carried outside the zone of George Floyd Square.
But not allowed by who? I mean, they're the police.
I would never. That's so stupid. So he was shot. It was just like, dude, it's just like the Chop situation. They literally, like, they wouldn't let, you know, people get shot and killed in there. They wouldn't let police or paramedics through.
The thing is, it's like, if they wanted to, police could go in there so easy.
Well, hold on. Well, there's a reason why they don't, but yeah.
Well, yeah, so, because you got civilian lives probably.
Right,
at,
obviously. But the thing is, it's like they said, so he got shot and he was carried out. Assumingly not by police or paramedics because they didn't let those people in. I don't know about you, but I would, if I was shot, I would not want a bunch of untrained people just roughly carrying me out. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me. I would want to be handled by professionals, you know?
It's so stupid that they think that they can do this. And it's so stupid that the city is not doing anything either.
Right.
They're just not caring. They're just like, yeah, fuck it. Some dude just got killed too. Not my problem.
Yeah, all they said is once this whole Chauvin trial is wrapped up, they'll get rid of it. Like, they'll go in and handle it. But why not handle it now?
If, like, the trial sways in Chauvin's favor.
I don't think it did. I think it's already, he's already gotten a third degree again. Like, they just reaffirmed it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, hypothetically, if it did go in Chauvin's favor, I mean, I've seen court cases go from one way, completely flip in a matter of a week.
I don't think it should go in his favor.
Personally. I don't think it should go in his favor either. But if it did, that whole town is gone.
Yeah.
That whole city is gone.
We're going to finish it.
Law enforcement, it was made clear law enforcement was not welcome to penetrate that zone, which is an atrocity because...
Those aren't gunshots.
His life was taken. And, I mean, who knows whether or not he would have survived had things been different.
When the BLM protester says that it's an atrocity that police can't go into an area, that's how you know you messed up.
How much you want to bet her nephew was killed by a white dude or a white person?
Somebody on a power trip.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, that's it for that clip.
This reminds me of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, dude, like, that's so dumb. The fact that the city doesn't do anything. So, okay, the guy, like I said, the guy that walked up says, like, I don't give an F who you are. You know what I mean? You need to go back to this. You're about to make a bad situation here in a couple seconds. Like, first of all, that's an open threat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a threat. That's not a whatever. So it's like, so the New York Post wrote an article, and so some of the excerpts is, those guarding the zone have refused to reopen the area unless the city meets a list of 24 demands. I have not been able to find those 24 demands, but I'd love to see them.
Well, if we find them, then we can make them next episode, too, because
I doubt they're very smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We want all this food because we don't work?
Oh, here's a couple. They include, scroll down a little bit enough on the article, include recalling the county prosecutor and dedicating hundreds of thousands of dollars into fighting racism. First of all, so, okay, this is what I never got. When you say I want money to go fight racism, what does that mean? Where is that money going? Do you fund the fight of race against racism? I don't think you do. I think the way you get rid of racism is try and change people's mindsets. I don't know how money is involved in that.
That is just where it comes into place. Like, okay, well, let's hide our greed to wanting money,
right,
behind a racial issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous, dude.
So then there's supporting affordable housing and creating jobs.
What do you think happened within the last 4 years?
Jeez, I wonder what Trump was doing while he was in office.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Definitely wasn't creating more affordable housing or, you know, the lowest unemployment we've ever seen. No, definitely
wild.
Not. Crazy. Who would have thought, too? That's crazy. So the activists want the area to remain closed until the trials are held for the three officers charged in Floyd's death. Those are scheduled in August. So if all goes to plan for them, this will be held until August, and those poor people trapped in the neighborhood.
Months.
Yeah, and this is already more violent than the whole CHOP thing. You know what I mean? Like, CHOP started out, everyone's like, yeah, we're just all going to protest here for a couple days, pitch some tents to no one's allowed inside. Now we have somebody who's running the joint, and it turns into essentially a tyrannical government. Well, it turns into everything they're against. You know what I mean?
It's Negan.
Yeah. It's hilarious. So there's a leader that the Post, or I don't know if they interviewed, but Janelle Austin, who is the leader within this area, said the thing about it is that a lot of the different demands are asked from different people, and black folks aren't monolithic. Cool. No one says they are. If they aren't monolithic, side tangent real quick, you're right. Black people aren't monolithic. So if you're going to keep that same energy when a black person votes Republican. Don't call them a coon or an Uncle Tom. Just wouldn't make
race
sense.
Race traitor.
Yeah, just would. I mean, that would make sense to me. You know what I mean? I don't. Whatever. So it's really incumbent upon our city leadership to really look at the needs behind the asks and really fulfilling those needs. You know what? You're right. No, if you want to protest and you want to ask the city to change some things and have them look into the things, you know, that you're demanding, that's cool. But I don't think the best way is taking over city blocks. That's just me.
I don't think they understand what their rights are.
What should I know? Yeah, I think making it look like Somalia or Syria is... I don't think that's a great idea. You know what I mean?
It's so, just...
Yeah. Stupid. But like I said, so the city, they like said, we're going to reopen it after the trial of Derek Chauvin. like after that wraps up. So that means what I'm taking that as, because you remember Minneapolis, because they had a bunch of police officers that quit. Not doing this during the protest stuff. It's like, screw it. You voted to defund us. We're done. We'll leave. We'll see how you like it. You know what I mean? And then the Minneapolis was like, they put millions of dollars back to rehire a bunch of officers and bring them back. Cause like, yeah, we kind of screwed up. I think we need you. You know what I mean?
It's just the thing that I'm anticipating, I guess, Derek Chauvin might get third degree, or most likely will get third degree. He'll go away. The other two officers who weren't really involved in the murder or whatever you want to call it, they get let off on a less harsh punishment, watch as they continue to hold that block.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating that to happen because, to be honest, the officers, they should have, I mean, hell, the officers should have fucking done something, I guess, the other two that were standing there.
I think one was a rookie.
Hell yeah, one was a boot. The other one was...
That's going to be the worst first day of your life. Or not first day. It's going to be the worst rookie experience.
A couple days later, he's like, what'd I do?
It's like, I'm joining the police force to make a positive change in my community.
Now I'm fired. And undergoing trial.
Now a lot of the world wants me dead.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Those other two officers, I mean, they weren't involved in the direct killing of George Floyd.
Yeah.
But they still should have. This wraps around to what we said in the first episode. They still should have done something and said something or whatever.
But is that going to be like accessory to, I don't know. Anyway, but no, so the city said,
stand by and not do anything.
The city said they're going to get rid of it once the trial for Chauvin wraps up. You know what I mean? So what I'm hearing by that is them politely saying, yo, get ready to pack your bags. And if you don't pack them, we'll pack them for you. You know what I mean?
That's what they need to do. Yeah. It's like, you can't just sit there and let, like I've always said, I'm against big government and all this, but you can't just sit there and let citizens think that law and order is a joke.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, with the whole CHOP situation, I mean, towards the end, they sent them in, and they, like, that stuff got shut down real fast. Because as soon as the big boys with guns showed up, everyone's like, you know what? Maybe this was a bad idea.
Dude, send one Abrams through that.
Of course, no. It'll the military guy wants to send
Abrams. SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, so you were asking, well, why haven't the cops already gone in there? So apparently, so a councilwoman from the city, her name was Andrea Jenkins. Like I said, she was the one that said they were complaining about gunshots and helicopters flying over that area already. So, and a lot of people are like, there's no gunshots, it's all peaceful. Well, it's like, well, someone got shot and killed in there, so I think the saying, well, yeah, there's a lot of gunshots going on, I think that's a valid complaint. On top of the fact of last year, there were there was 14 oh no there was 19 shootings, or at least non-fatal shootings, in that specific area last year. 14 of them occurred between May 1st and August 31st. What do you think was going on during that time frame? My summer.
Absolutely nothing.
Peaceful protests. Nothing peaceful, to see here.
Nothing happened.
Nothing to see here.
Not $1 million in damages.
No. Mm-mm, nothing at all. So, I think the complaint of gunshots is a very valid complaint. You know what I mean? I'm surprised. I would have sent the police in immediately. As soon as they declared it, I would have been like, yeah, nope, you thought.
That shit should have been done super quick.
Yeah.
Because the longer that you let them keep control of that block, the longer they're like, you know what? I think we can hold out here.
Yeah, and if they're already violent, you know, volatile, or just say violent and militant-like, I would have been had that shut down. National Guard set in for that, you know, the State Guard sent in right there, and then put it all to rest.
You got to tiptoe around everything now. I guarantee you the governor was just like, you know, if we send in the military or National Guard or send in the police, they're probably thinking that might make us racist because that is for, like, George Floyd's memorial site. It's just like, no, that doesn't make you racist. That makes you a good governor. You should have done it.
The summer of love. So Marcia Howard, like I said, was the retired Marine. Right. She quit her job. I think she was a teacher, and she's like one of the zone's organizers. Right. I said she was leader. That's not true. She's one of the organizers. So she's on the table, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The board. She said that the cops have not been impeded at all whatsoever. So they haven't stopped the cops from coming in, which is a lie. And the shooting of that kid or that guy proves that wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Including there's people, witnesses, who said that they didn't let cops come in. So. Yeah.
So if you tell, first of all, so the news station now, which was the video we just watched, they're called News Station Now. She told them that injustice closed these streets and only justice can open them back up. You're right. You close the streets. You are the injustice. You're the ones who broke the law and closed down the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, oh my goodness, dude. It is hilarious. I think they're scared because of what happened in CHOP or CHAZ, whatever you want to call it. I think they're scared of the city is, of, you know, the clashes between police consistently all the time. Yeah. And how violent that got because they tried to send in police or, you know, not send in. They tried to send it. They put, like, you know, they're kind of throwing, like, pebbles at it. They're scared how bad that got. I think Minneapolis is probably a little scared to directly go in, you know what I mean, right now and do that. Which is kind of sad because that lasted a month. If this
lasts till August?
Yeah. Man. Like, this is, again, what I'm thinking of right now is those people in their homes or those guys in those businesses, because there's businesses back there, right? That's, they shut off blocks that include homes and businesses.
But these people are in support of small businesses.
Right. They're going towards their, you know, they can't go to their businesses. They can't go to their work. They probably can't leave home or go home.
Go to the grocery store.
Yeah. If I'm just thinking, if those people are sitting there, right, the ones that yelled at those reporters, like, you need to leave, and they were outside the barricade when they were told to leave, I can only imagine what it's like trying to walk to your house that's probably, like, visible from the outside of the barricade, you know what I mean? It's like, my house is right there, you know what I mean? But they don't let them back in, or they give them a hard time, dude. Like, that's horrible.
The problem that I'm having, too, with this is that they're doing this. The government, or not the government, but the state isn't doing anything to stop it, to...
Yeah.
Get it taken care of. What's to say that more militant groups aren't not to follow, whether they are Proud Boys, whatever, Antifa. Who's to say that that's all of a sudden this is just going to be coming to a bunch of turf wars?
Yeah, because then, like, the other thing when she says injustice closes the streets and justice will reopen it, the justice system is going about doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. And for those who's like, well, it's scheduled towards August, why can't they speed it up? Like, you can't exactly make a case if you're trying to build evidence for defense or even to prosecute, right? Excuse me. You need that evidence. You need to build evidence. So, of course, it's going to take a little bit for them to build up evidence. If they were to move the case up to, like, now, you know what I mean? Let's say that the prosecutor doesn't have all the evidence they need. Well, that'll walk, you know, then those people will walk free. And that'll just create even more problems. You know what I mean?
Like, tons. It's just a big cluster right now.
It's kind of been dying down too, which is funny.
Well, yeah, but whichever way that the trials go, it's gonna be bad. Like, just like in general, it's gonna be bad because then all of a sudden we haven't really been hearing much about this for the past
couple months. It's been relatively chill.
It's been relatively chill. Derek Ever Chauvin since... and those other officers, if they get off easy, riots, everything's going to go off again. They get not acquitted. If they get convicted, then you're going to have all these people who are in support of Derek Chauvin or backing him. They're going to be going off, too. And it's just going to be the George Floyd incident all over again. That's all it's going to be.
It's kind of funny how it all kind of died down when a certain somebody took presidency.
That's crazy. Yeah.
When a certain party gained power?
Sleepy Uncle Joe.
Interesting. Who would have called it? Definitely wasn't me or Red Boy or any
Hodge twins, Steven Crowder, Ben Shapiro. Anybody who
said it was a freaking trend. I was like, no, it's not a trend. We mean it this time. Guess what? It sounded like a broken record because it happened just like last time. They actually
care about us.
Yeah, it happened just like last time. Insane. So... what I'm hoping it doesn't re-spark it, whatever happens.
I'm hoping, you know
what
it doesn't.
I really, because I don't feel like dealing with that again, man.
That's too
I really
much don't. Stuff to cover.
Yeah, that's way too much money. Way too much money. But with that being said, that kind of wraps up today's show. Like I said, a little bit of a short show today. We appreciate y'all's support. Again, I was checking analytics on YouTube, as one does as a content creator, and noticed that I think somewhere between now 60% of people who watch aren't subscribed, so it's better than 65. Oh, we're making improvements. Someplace. So if you're watching it and you enjoy it, man, why not hit that subscribe button? And if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, consider following us on those platforms, and make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's Pure American Pod to not miss any updates. We do have guests lining up. I promise you we do. Next week, supposedly, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So we'll get that out more to you guys. We appreciate y'all so much. Thank you for listening. It's been awesome. I'm Fatty. That is Red Boy. Mr. Douche Flute himself. And we will catch y'all in the next one. Deuces.